27th verse. John 14, verse 27. This is a passage of Scripture today that speaks warmly yet forcefully of the needs of man. It covers the source of peace, our source of joy, and our security. We're going to look at only one of those needs today, and we're going to look at peace for just a little while. Peace in a world full of turmoil, strife, war, deceit, a world full of so many problems that sometimes we find it difficult to maintain a sense of genuine peace. This world's in a mess. We need a peace that truly surpasses all understanding. And I believe Jesus is the source of that peace. And so I'm going to read this scripture, and then there's a couple of things I like to share before I get into the body of my sermon today. Chapter 14 of the book of John, verse 27 says, and these are the words of Jesus. And how do I know that? They're in red. Well, I mean, I like it that it's in red. It helps me know. Anyway, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If you love me, you would rejoice because I said, I go unto the Father, for my Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it come to pass, that when it come to pass, you might believe. Hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh and hath nothing in me, but that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. Arise, let us go hence. Jesus was getting ready to be crucified, and he knew his time was up. But he gave these guys, I mean, you could read this whole chapter and the whole book, and you can find out, starting out in the first of the chapter, you find out about this place that Jesus prepared for us. He calls to heaven. He said he goes to prepare a place for us, that where he is, we may be also. And I'm glad for that. But I'm also glad today that he, as he was preparing to leave, did his best to leave us some words of comfort to help us to understand that we can make it until he comes. And you need to understand that today. There's a couple of things I want to say before I get into the body of the sermon today. One is this: peace, the peace of God, does not mean escapism. It doesn't mean a quiet atmosphere. It doesn't mean the absence of trouble. The control of situations by positive thinking and denial of problems, nor the ability to keep from facing reality. We're going to face reality. You're going to have problems. There's going to be situations that you feel like you can't control, and you can't. You're going to feel overwhelmed at times. You're going to feel like, and you're going to feel underwhelmed every once in a while, like nothing, you know, there's just all kinds of emotions run through our minds, our hearts, because our human being. But I want you to know God's still in control. So peace doesn't mean that everything's going to go great. I could ask you today how many of you's had trouble in your life, and every one of you would have to raise your hand. How many of you's felt like God has abandoned you at one time or another? Most of you would have to raise your hand. It's just the way it is. And even as your pastor, there's times I wonder where God's at. And I wonder why he chose me to pastor. I wonder why he ever saved me. I don't know what I did to deserve it. I didn't do anything. Actually, he died for me because he loved me. In the same way for you. So peace doesn't mean all that stuff. Peace with God means the sense or knowledge that one has restored his relationship with God. That's real peace, having a restored relationship with God. We were all separated, so I'm glad I have a restored relationship with God today. And that's real peace. Peace means that we know one is no longer separated and alienated from God. Without Jesus Christ, you're separated, you're alienated from God. You have no access to God. But this peace means you have access to God. This peace means that you've now been reconciled with God. I like reconciliation. He gave us the spirit of reconciliation. This means that we've been accepted by God. I heard the Sunday school class adults talking today that, I don't even know what I heard them talking, but they's laughing more than they's talking sometime, almost disturbing the kids upstairs. But there's things happen to us in our life, and if you're not careful, the devil's going to tell you you don't have no peace and you're not saved. But we all go through some times like, we don't feel saved. But this peace lets you know that you've been accepted by God and you can be reconciled to God. And if you do make a mistake while you're down here, you still have hope. And you can come back to God if you ask. That's what this talk about. You can ask Him to forgive you, and everything can be, you know, God doesn't, He's not an angry God going to kick you out every time you make a mistake. If that was the case, well, I'd done be ashes. I mean, He had done destroyed me for making mistakes. And we all make mistakes. I don't give you a license to make mistakes, but you're going to. Amen? You're just going to do it. And so it means that we're freed, though, however, from the wrath and the judgment of God. That's real peace to know that I've been reconciled and I'm free from the wrath and judgment of God. Folks that don't know Christ are not freed from that. I don't know how they could have any peace at all. I don't know how they could enjoy living without Jesus. They can if they think about it. I just don't see how. And so this one means that we have a sense of knowledge that we're pleasing God. If you serve God and you're doing your best, you're pleasing Him. You may not feel like you're measuring up, but God is looking at your heart. And you need to present yourself. Of course, we talk about that a lot, a living sacrifice. Romans 12, 1 and 2. And so this peace means that we are at peace with God. We're at peace with God today. If you've been born again, you're at peace with God. You may not have arrived yet, so to speak. You may not be where you think you need to be, but you have peace with God today. Well, I'm thankful for that. I hope you are too. I'm thankful for that today. And so the source of peace, that our peace that we're talking about today, is Jesus Christ. Jesus is our peace. We have peace with God only because of Jesus Christ. He broke down the partition that was between us. He's the one that reconciled us through His blood. We have peace with God through Him. Romans 3:25 says this, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. We have been reconciled through Jesus Christ. He took our place. He satisfied God's wrath towards man if man will accept Him and repent. That's where it comes from, through repentance. And He reconciles you to that. Peace means this. The gospel peace that I'm talking about today, the God kind of peace, means this. To bind together, to join, to weave together. It means a personal bond woven and joined together with Himself and with God and with others. We have been woven together with Jesus Christ, and that makes us one with God. It's just a union, like a braid and a rope. You take when braids loose, they're not very strong, are they? Take it loose. But you can braid a rope that right round, wind that thing up together, and it's strong. It can do a lot of good that way. But we've been bound together with Jesus Christ. In the Hebrew, it's called shalom. It's called shalom, and that means freedom freedom from trouble and much more than that. It means experiencing the highest good, enjoying the very best, possessing all the inner good possible. It means wholeness and soundness. It means prosperity in the widest sense, especially spiritual, in the spiritual sense of having a soul that blossoms and flourishes. When they said shalom, they're saying, I want you to have prosperity. I want you to have godliness. I want you to have goodness. I want you to have satisfaction. I want you to be content. I want you to be absent of trouble. But I'm going to tell you, in this life is full of trouble. And so we need the God kind of peace in this life. And that's the kind of peace that brings real inner peace and satisfaction in living for God. I can't live for God without His peace. I just could. If my life was in turmoil all the time, and even as I served Christ, and nothing ever went right, I wouldn't have real peace. But although my life can get in turmoil, and I can have problems, I still have an inner peace because I know Jesus. Amen. Amen. And so no matter what goes on around me, I have peace. And that peace brings contentment. That peace brings satisfaction. That peace brings wholeness. That peace brings me closer to God because I know I can trust Him regardless of what's going on around me and towards me. We all have turmoil at one time or another. Things don't always go the way you think they should. And it never will. You're going to have those times things are going exactly the way you want them to go. But more times than not, you're going to find out your life is not guaranteed by what you want. There are too many variables. But we can still have peace. So I want you to know that today. So I don't know who wrote this, but he said this, peace is that calm of mind that is not ruffled by adversity, overclouded by a remorseful conscience, or disturbed by fear. That's our type of peace. It doesn't matter. We're not ruffled by our adversity. We're just not. We just know we trust God. It looks bad, but we trust God. Have you ever felt that way, that you had no hope, and nothing was ever going to go right again, but then all of a sudden this calm assurance come into your spirit, say, oh, wait a minute, I know Jesus Christ, and God's in control of my life. So everything's going to work out. For the Bible says, for we know this, for all things work together for the good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. So everything's going to be all right. It may not look like it, and we may go through some tumultuous times, and we may have some difficulties getting to where we want to go, or where God's taking us, but yet we're going to make it. We're going to make it, and we're going to make it victoriously. So I've got about 7 or 8 points I want to make, and I've got a long time. I won't take too long on all of them. Oh, there's just 3 there, and then I start over again. It won't take too long, and it'll be good. And yet surely you'll be able to digest some of it. I want you to leave here with peace today. Some of your lives are in a mess. You know, they're just in a mess. And you need some of this God kind of peace to help you through this mess, okay? And so we want to try to help you today. There is the peace of the world. And this is the peace of escapism, of avoiding trouble or refusing to face face reality. And there's that type of peace that we have. I don't need the peace of the world. I need the peace of God. Amen. This worldly peace is a peace that's sought after through pleasure, satisfaction, contentment, the absence of trouble, positive thinking, or denial of problems. That's not real peace. If you got a problem, you got a problem. And you can't just deny it away. You can't speak to that, you want to speak to that mountain and say, be removed. But you're going to have God on your side to be able to speak to that mountain. And you're going to have God on your side to have real peace through that situation that you're facing. You can't deny it away. You can't use positive thinking all the time and say, well, you know what? I think you need to be positive in your thinking. I really believe that. We need to speak positive words of our mouth concerning things that's going on. But you gotta understand, you're gonna go through some things in this life and you can't do it the world's way. You've gotta do it God's way. And the world won't bring you that peace that you really need, but God will. He really will. And so you need to understand that. And then there's the peace of God and of Jesus Christ. First, this is a bosom peace. It's a peace that's deep within. It is a tranquility of your mind, a composure, a peace that is calm in the face of bad circumstances and situations. And so everybody here at one time or another, as I've said earlier, you've went through some things, and if you haven't, you will. There's going to be this turmoil in this life. And like I said, in this life, it's full of trouble. It's full of turmoil. And it's not always of your making. Sometimes you make some of your trouble, okay? We know that. Sometimes we make our own trouble. And what's that old adage? If you make your bed, lie in it. Sometimes we get ourselves in trouble with the things we do. But there is peace that comes only from God. And when that peace it reaches way down deep into your spiritual man, and regardless of how hard the wind is blowing, regardless of how deep the water seems, and how high I should say that the waves are lashing up against your ship, you know that your ship is not going down. You know you're not going to drown. You know the water will not suffocate you. You know the adversity, the turmoil will not overcome you, because you have this inner peace. And that peace comes from God. Jesus said, I leave my peace with you. Not as the world gives peace, I give you. It goes on to say, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Come on, church. We got peace regardless of circumstances. It's more than feelings. I've got a feeling everything's going to be all right. Well, I have that feeling when I know God, but I'm going to tell you, without God, I can't say that and sing that with a surety. I can't make a sure confession of that without God on my side. And so it's more than feelings. It's even more than an attitude or a thought. It's a peace of conquest. It's peace independent of conditions and environment. The peace which no sorrow, no danger, no suffering, nor experience can take away. That's the kind of peace I have. It doesn't matter what comes my way. It doesn't matter the conditions. It doesn't matter the environment. This peace brings no sorrow. It presents no danger. It gives no suffering. And no experience can take this kind of peace away. Jesus said in chapter 16 of the John, and verse 33, he said this. He said, these things have I spoken to you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you will have tribulation. Be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Jesus said you will have tribulation. But he said, be of good cheer. Come on, church. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know who I'm speaking to today, but somebody needs to grab hold of this word. Somebody needs to take this and digest it all the way through your system. And you need to take what the word of God's telling you today and begin to walk in the real peace of God that surpasses all understanding. Amen. And thirdly, this is a peace of assurance. This peace that we're talking about, it's a peace of unquestionable confidence. The peace with a sure knowledge that one is in the hands of God, and all things will work out for the good to those who love God and called according to His purpose. Romans 8:28. Well, we know that that's the way it is today. That this peace is a peace that's unquestionable. It's a peace of assurance. I can trust God. I can trust God. Personally, I haven't been through a great crisis recently. My wife's going through a greater one than I am. My mother and father-in-law are laying in a nursing home, and they're progressing toward the grave. I'm just be honest about it. They're not long for this life unless God miraculously turns things around. They're 91 years old, and it's almost their time to go. That's turmoil in my wife. She's took care of them for 5-6 years now, and that's her parents. She's had them for 60 some odd years of her life, and it's tough to let go. But some of you went through some of the same things, and some of you are going through some of the same things, and some of you had your parents a whole lot less than what she's had hers. You've already experienced what she's experiencing, so you understand the turmoil. Come on now, you understand that turmoil. You understand the hurt. You understand the pain. You understand that it looks like God has abandoned you. But He hasn't. He hasn't. He's still God. And Jesus said, be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. I've overcome the world. So forth, there's a peace that brings intimacy with God. I want closer to the Lord. Don't you? It's the peace of the highest good. is a peace that settles the mind, strengthens the will, and establishes the heart. This peace that brings you closer to God. And there's that peace that we need. Number three, I know I've been through several points, but here's point three. There is the source of peace. And peace is not always born, is most always born out of reconciliation. And that source of reconciliation is found only in Jesus Christ. Real peace comes through Christ. Why can we walk the way we walk, talk the way we talk, and experience this peace within our hearts when we go through things? It's because we trust God and we've been reconciled to God through Jesus Christ. So we know that we have God the Father in heaven who sent back the Holy Spirit to be our comforter in every situation. He doesn't just convict us and direct our path. He comforts us in every situation, no matter what it is. He's our comfort today. And so we have reconciliation with God only through Jesus Christ. So through Him we have that. Real peace has to do with personal relationships. A man's relationship to himself, to God, and his fellow man. We need to be at peace with one another. What? Yeah. Don't you hate to go someplace and I was talking to the lady the other day and visiting with her and was visiting at the hospital and she was telling me, said, Pastor, if you'd known me before, said, you don't know me like you think you know me. Said, if I was to go to my cousin's house today, she would say something or do something or spit on me or slap me or do something to try to start a fight. So that's just the way she is. He said, that's the way my family is. They want me to come over 4th of July, and I said, I can't do that anymore. I can't come around you guys. Well, why? You think you're too goody-goody for us now that you go to church? He said, no, I don't think I'm too goody-goody, but I know how you are. And I know how, you know, they'll be drinking, and there'll be all this stuff going on, and I don't want to be a part of that any longer. Plus, you'll say something that to try to infuriate me, and you probably will. Or you'll spit on me like you did before, and the fight's going to be on. So I don't want that kind of life any longer, that lifestyle. I'm done with that, so I'm going to stay away from you. See, there's some people, that's what they want. That's all they know is fighting and brawling. And I said, your family's just a bunch of brawlers, aren't they? She goes, yeah, they are. She said, my mama was like that. I said, she liked to fight. She'd fight over nothing. She said, that's how I was raised up. You just fight. You cuss and you fight. I'm glad I wasn't raised that way. I talk big sometime when I'm up here, but I'm really not that as tough as I talk. Pretty easy to embellish when you're up here preaching, trying to make it interesting. Some of y'all think I'm a bully, but I ain't. I'm a chicken most of the time. But I'll probably... And if I take my shirt off, I'm not going to. It wouldn't be a good thing. Do you see a yellow streak down my back? Probably. Okay, I'm kidding. But, you know, I don't want that kind of life. I want peace with family. I want peace with God. I certainly want peace in a church. I told somebody earlier, I said, if somebody comes up to you and tells you to get out of their pew, you tell them it's not their pew today, it's yours. They better not have done it, because that will rile me up if you tell somebody to get out of that pew because it's yours. None of these pews belong to any of us. We all sharing them. I know we got our favorite spots. Have you ever noticed, last week, I'm getting off service, but it's maybe, when that ice was on, we had a cones out there. People was parking where there was ice when they could have parked where there wasn't any ice, because that's where they always park. Well, what is wrong with you guys? Park somewhere else. Oh no, that's where I park. I'm going to fall and bust my bottom, but I'm going to park there. Well, we're creatures of habit, aren't we? So, Jesus is our source of peace. Ephesians 2:13 through 14 says, but now in Jesus you were sometimes far off. But now in Jesus ye who were sometimes far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ, for he is our peace, who have made both one and have broken down the middle partition between us. So we have been made, he is our peace. Colossians 1, 20 and 21 says, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, and you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled. Aren't you, you see here that? You who were wicked. Is there any people who used to be wicked here? Yeah, there's a couple honest people in the church. All of us were wicked. All of us were unsaved. We all needed reconciliation. And it said Jesus reconciled. We who were alienated and enemies in our mind by our wicked works, he hath now reconciled. Think about that, church. He's reconciled. He's made peace with us. And we made peace with God. Real peace is only attained through the cross and Jesus. That's the only way you have real peace. So man secures real peace in the following manner. And I got a long time yet, and I'm going to take all of it. If I need to. Man secures peace in the following manner. By justification. Romans 5:1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have been justified through the blood of Jesus Christ. When we accept him, when we repent of our sins, we are justified. It's just as if you had never sinned. When he sees the blood, I like the story over in Exodus when Moses was getting ready to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt's bondage. And he finally, that one final plague, when God told him to go tell Pharaoh if he didn't let him go, he was going to send a plague and take all the firstborn. And so he went back and told Pharaoh. Pharaoh said, oh, I don't believe that either. And you know how Pharaoh was. He'd say go, and then he'd say no. And so he didn't let them go, so they had to kill a lamb without blemish, a type and shadow of Jesus Christ. Could be no blemish on that lamb. They all had to kill a lamb and roast it and eat it and have unleavened bread, which represents no sin. Leaven represents sin. So they had to eat unleavened bread, which didn't taste all that great, with bitter herbs, and eat that lamb. But they had to take the blood of that lamb and put it on the doorpost of the house. And he said, when the death angel sees the blood, he will pass over that house. Even the children of Israel, if they had refused the blood, they would have died that night. The firstborn would have died that night. Come on now. They would have. I love that. When he sees the blood, he passes over us. We've been reconciled back to God because of the precious blood of Jesus. We've been justified by faith. By faith. Number two, we are justified, or we have peace, I should say, by loving God's Word. Church, you should be reading God's Word. The Word of God is a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your path. It lets you know about God and also shows you yourself, but it shows you how to live for God. How to please God. How to do the things you need. Psalms 119 verse 165 says, great peace have they which love the law or the Bible, and nothing shall offend them. And offend here means cause them to stumble, cause to fall, or become a stumbling block to them. What's that tell you today? You want real peace with God. You want to be able to walk victorious. You need to be in the Word of God every opportunity that you have to find out what God says about you and about how to live for Him. And if you don't, you don't know. And so there's stumbling blocks that are put in your way. People say, well, I believe this. And you'll fall for it because you don't know any better. Well, preacher, you never preached on that. Well, I can't preach everything in the Bible. I only have 52 times a year on Sunday morning, because that's when some of you, that's the only time you're here. You get 52 sermons if you make every week. I can't cover it all in 52 weeks. I can't cover it all if I preach 7 days a week, 52 weeks a year. I won't cover it all. But you need to read the Word of God and find out what He says concerning your life. and then you won't stumble. You won't fall. Isn't that great? John 16:33, I already spoke that to you today. Not these things I spoke to you, that you may have peace in the world. You have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. And so you need God's Word. If you didn't read God's Word, or I hadn't read that scripture to you today, you wouldn't know it was in there. Every time I read the Word of God, I don't care if it's Genesis or Exodus or Leviticus, and I bog down in Leviticus because they're talking, there's, well, this curtain's this size, and, you know, and you do this, and I was like, man, I bog down. But I find out something new every time I read, no matter where it's at in the Bible. I don't care if it's Ezra or Nehemiah or some obscure passage. I'll find something new in there. It's not new. It's just something I hadn't seen yet. Isn't that crazy? God, and sometimes I think it's just you're maturing and God's illuminating something new to you. Or there's something, although you've read it, He wants you to see it this time differently. Maybe it's really applicable to your life at this time. So you need to read the Word. If you want real peace, you need the Word of God. Thirdly, you need to pray about everything. You need to pray. We have prayer meeting every Sunday morning. It's not very well attended. I was told yesterday to quit apologizing when I say something that bothers y'all. So there's no apology there. You need to be praying. Ronnie Henson wrote a song that said this: if nobody's praying, that's who's staying. Some of y'all don't even know who Ronnie Henson is. He's one of the greatest songwriters in the world. He is, isn't he? Gillum girls agree with me. Excuse me, they're not Gillums. Well, they ain't all Gillums. There's a Copeland and a Gillum back there. They're Ruby girls. Hey, that's almost true. He goes on to say another song, you ain't going up on no watered down gasoline. Come on now. We need high octane super salvation. And you get that by reading God's Word. You get saved, you begin to grow in the Lord, and part of that is reading the Word and praying. We need to pray. Philippians 4, 6, and 7 says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And then what happens? And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. We like to quote the latter half of that, and the peace of God. Well, you don't get the peace of God until you do the things of God. And part of the things of God is what He just said preceding that scripture. Be careful for nothing but in everything with prayer and supplication. We need to pray, church. And I know some of you pray at home, and you ought to pray at home. But we ought to pray corporately here at the church too. I like to see you pray. I'd like to hear you wail and moan and groan before God. What? We pray out loud? Somebody will hear me. They may hear me confess a fault. Do that privately. Or get quiet at that point. But then when you know you've been forgiven, hey, thank you, Jesus, that I've been set free. Thank you, Jesus, that your blood has washed me and cleansed me from all unrighteousness. Thank you, Jesus, that you hear my prayer. I mean, come on, church, we're supposed to pray. And we should be, you want real peace, you want to maintain peace, you be spiritually minded. You can't be spiritually minded about getting in the Word and praying. Romans 8 and 6 says, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. How do you get spiritually minded? Well, you get saved first, then you start reading God's Word and praying. And I don't know if I say anything about this, but then you go to church also for spiritual nourishment and fellowship. You go to church. You don't lay out every chance you get. You go to church every chance you get. Oh, you're ugly. Well, maybe so. You also get to stay spiritually minded by keeping your mind, by staying your mind upon God. Isaiah 26, verse 3. He says, "Thou will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee." You keep your mind on God. I know there's world, there's life to be lived. There's things to be done. Work to be accomplished. Families to raise. I mean, that's all part of life. But in that process, keep your mind on God. It's easy. It's easy. I mean, I can build fence and think about God. I usually pray, "Oh God, can I get this over with quicker?" Or, "Lord, I really wish I could was a real prophet where I could pray a miracle. I'd pray this fence was finished. I'd just step back and watch it be done." It don't work that way. He says, "I'm going to give you the strength to finish it. It may take you longer than it should, but you can do it." You keep your mind on him. Finally, brethren, Philippians 4:8 says this, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there are any virtue, if there are any praise, think on these things." That's how you keep your mind on God. That's how you secure the peace of God, by doing the things that God wants you to do. We need to be virtuous people. You know, the fruit of the Spirit ought to be evident in everybody's life. Now, it's not fruits of the Spirit, it's fruit of the Spirit. One fruit manifested in several different ways. Love and peace and joy and all these things. I go over in Galatians and read it to you. I don't want to. You can do it yourself. I think it's Galatians, the fifth chapter. Go read it for yourself. There's a fruit. It's sort of like an orange. You peel off the peeling, and that orange is in several layers. I mean, it's got these little parts to it. You know, you pull it apart, and it's all an orange. Well, that's the fruit of the Spirit, and it's all sweet. You begin to live in God's Word and begin to do what God's Word. It's sweet, and it's good for you. But you pull it apart, and there it is. It's all these different parts, but it's still an orange. And that's the fruit of the Spirit. It's got all these different parts, but it's still the fruit of the Spirit. We need to have that evident in our lives, church. Amen? And then number 6, by keeping God's commandments. You want peace, keep God's commandments. Isaiah 48, verse 14, 48, 18 says, "Oh, that thou hast hearkened to my commandments. Then had thy peace been as a river, and thy righteousness as the waves of the sea." Wow. River flows. The waves of the sea, man. God said, then you'd had it like that if you would hearken to his commandments. We need to follow the word of God. There again, we're back to the word of God again. Follow what God says. Old Testament with a Ten Commandments threat, they're still valid today. And we could do a sermon on the Ten Commandments. People need to follow those, man. They're guidelines. Our government's set up on them. Come on now. We need those things. Philippians 4:9 says, "These things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the peace of God shall be with you." What's Paul saying there? He's saying, I'm living, I'm trying my best to follow Christ. I'm leading you the right direction. If you'll do what I'm doing, you're going to make it. Well, there's people all over this church. If you'd follow what they're doing, church, you'd make it. You may be Christians. If you'd follow like what some of the folks have been in church for a long, long, now some of you don't want to follow all of them. You might ought to come ask me which ones to follow, you know, hey. Gotta get myself in trouble there. No, there's people here who are living for Christ and have been doing it for a long time. Pay attention. Listen. Watch. Emulate. What's that mean? Well, I think it means copy, doesn't it? Copy them. You know? And you'll have real peace because you'll be living for God. Wife and I, we've been living for God for over 40 years. It ain't that big a deal. It ain't all been roses. Boy, it's been good. I wouldn't trade. I go back to my old school now, Brother Ron. Goodman's. Wouldn't take nothing for my journey now. Got to make it to heaven somehow. Though the devil tempt me and try to turn me around. You know what I mean? There's nothing here for me. I want to live for God. That don't mean I'm not tempted. Doesn't mean I don't have trouble. Doesn't mean I don't have turmoil. But I want to live for God. And I have an inner peace when I know I'm living for God and doing what I should. I have this peace. And in closing, the only real peace we have, of course, is in Jesus Christ. Through Him, we have peace with God through Jesus. And He's brought about real salvation through Him. I'm glad I'm saved. I'm glad He found me. I'm so glad He found me. He wrapped His arms around me one day. I remember the time. I was a little boy. I was about 8 years old, and I got saved in Little Assembly of God Church in Oklahoma City. That's when I first got saved, Mother. I remember that. Me and another little boy. I don't know who he was. I just remember we was both on this side of the church and got saved. I remember that. Now, I went away from God, but I remember when I came back to the Lord when I was 20 years old. I think I was about 20. Hadn't been married too long, come back to the Lord. I remember I was back in the back corner of the church. The Spirit of the Lord got a hold of me, and I knelt down at the back pew, and I rededicated my life to the Lord. And I would take nothing for that. Nothing for that. I'm glad He waited on me. I'm glad I wasn't killed in a car wreck. Come on now. Any number of things could have happened before I came back to the Lord. But I'm glad He waited on me and was merciful, long-suffering with me. We need the peace of God today. You might be saying, how do I find that peace? Well, I'm going to give you some pointers before we go home today, how to find that peace, how to find peace with God. First off, you need to recognize your need. If you don't see a need for it, you'll never search for it, and you'll never receive it. The Bible tells us that everyone has sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All of us are sinners, and we need to admit our need for a Savior. That's first. You need to recognize you need Jesus, first and foremost. You'll never have peace with God without that. Secondly, you need to repent of your sins. Once you recognize a need for a Savior, you need to repent. Our sins have created a wall of separation between us and God. But by confessing our sins, we have and turning from them, you'll find forgiveness. It's not enough just to confess them; you got to turn from them. I've seen a lot of fake or false conversions. Come shed a few tears on the altar. Never pray through to truly pray through to true repentance. Get up and walk out the door and continue living the way they've lived. It doesn't work that way. You'll not have God's peace until you truly repent of your sins. The Bible says in 1 John 1:9 concerning all of us, but more the church as much as anything, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's a promise, church, from the Word of God. Thirdly, we must believe in Jesus. If you've never believed in Him, you must believe in Him. God wrought a miracle one day when He sent His Son to die so that He could pay for our sins. I can't totally understand it. I can't, you know, it'd be difficult for me to give my son for you. But yet, God gave His Son for all of us. He came, He suffered, and He died. And we just need to put our faith and our hope, our belief in Him. The Bible says in John 3:16, and you all know the scripture, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish. You want peace with God, it comes through Jesus Christ. Fourthly, you must receive your salvation. God has given us a great gift of His Son, but we must receive this gift. It's given. It's there. It's like a gift on Christmas morning. If I know I have a gift under the tree, which I very seldom do these days, the kids come over. Well, my wife didn't get me nothing this year. I didn't get her nothing either, though. The kids come over. We've got gifts under the tree for the grandkids, and we got stuff in the stockings for all of them, and we've got gifts for my son-in-laws and daughter-in-law, and we got gifts for all of them on that tree. We give them all out, and I wait with anticipation because I know my kids, although my wife forgot me, I know my kids. I know they brought me something. I know I'm going to get something from my kids. And I wait with anticipation. And when they hand that to me, I don't say, can I open that now? I start opening it because I want to see what's inside. I may know it's a shirt already because that's what I ordered, but I want to see it. I want to see what color it is. I want to see if they got me the right size. You know? Well, that's the same way with God. He's given us the gift. You've got to open the gift. Got to, it's absolutely the right size. The Bible says in John 1:12, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God. I'm glad that I'm a child of God today. And secondly, you have to confess your faith. Or secondly, fifth, confess your faith. Y'all thought I was starting over again, didn't you? Wait a minute, you start with one, not two. The Bible assures us if we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. That's Romans 10:9. You've been born again and now part of God's family. So you need to tell somebody what he's done for you. It's an old song, and I don't know who sings it. Probably, well, never mind. I can't think of the guy's name right now. But it says, I got to tell somebody what Jesus done for me. When you get really saved and he really comes in, you got to tell somebody. I was talking to a gentleman the other day about Christ, and he said, well, I've gotten saved, but I'm not ready to tell everybody yet. Wait a minute. He said, I've only told you, and I ain't even going to tell my wife yet. I think he's afraid to expect him to straighten up. Well, yeah. Like, wait a minute. So I got to visit with him some more. He ain't quite got there yet, but he's going to. Amen. You get saved, you don't mind people knowing you got saved. You don't mind them knowing that you don't drink and smoke and cuss and do all that stuff. I mean, some of us still do that stuff, preacher, but we're trying. We're working on it. I'm glad for John, what is it, 1 John 1:9. No, there's a change. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation, new creature. There's a real change happens to you if you're in Christ. But that's how you get the peace of God right there, by doing those five things. You have the peace of God. You have the peace that most of us here today have. I'll tell you what, it's worth getting. It's worth getting. You need it. You need it. You need it. We all need peace with God. Would you stand?